Today, once again, we revisit the Proverbs and the readings of the Feast of the Epiphany. And thus, I will not read them again. However, there are a few things that I'd like to point out as we celebrate these mysteries and contemplate them and meditate upon them in these holy days which we celebrate. We see in the introit that it says, "Behold, the Lord, the ruler, is come, and his kingdom is in his hands. His power and empire is in his hands." And so, in these wonderful readings and proverbs, which come from particularly the prophet Malachi, who's one of those that is most involved in the readings and the prophecies of the birth and adoration of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see these wonderful things given to us. What is really also interesting is that over and over again, especially we see this in Isaiah's, that the light has come to Jerusalem. The light, and who is the light? None other than Jesus Christ. "I am the way, the truth, and the light." And he it is who gives us his life, which comes through these means, because before it was total and complete darkness. And St. Isaiah says, "The glory of the Lord is above thee, and it has been born." But the word that is used in Latin is very important because it says orta, which also has to do with that which comes forth from the east. And here in these readings of the Epiphany, we have over and over again references to oriens, exalto, orta, and so forth, which have to do with the east. And of course, for us, it is not a big deal, but recently there was a huge situation in the church and still has not been resolved, because very few things have been resolved, that all of our worship should be oriented, and there you have the same word again, the east, and of course facing God, not facing man, because we worship God, not man. And one of the things that is very disconcerting and alarming about some of the new things that are going on throughout the world and throughout the church is that God has been put to the side and man has been put in the center. And it is not the way it is supposed to be. It is God that must be the center of our worship. And thus we look to him. We worship him when we offer the holy mysteries and the holy sacrifice. And then, of course, we see some of the other things, but again and again, we see these two words that are used that refer to the Orient. Oriens exalto, as we see in the Canticles, who has come from the east, from the highest in the east. And it is from the east that we expect that the Lord will come when he returns in glory. And because of that, the church has always prayed towards the liturgical east. And here, of course, the liturgical east is the actual north, but not every church can possibly be built with those particular dimensions, though it certainly would not be impossible. But it is the east, and it is from the east that we expect the Lord return. Also, one of the things that I've been wanting to point out to you, and of course, vocabulary is very important. The word that comes from the Word of God, the eternal Word of God, Jesus Christ, is very important. And one of the things that I always thought was very interesting, the word that is used by St. Matthew, which may very well have been used by Our Lady, who is the one who told him about this. No one else was there, that knew about this except her. When Herod, the wicked, evil, insecure, fake king of Jerusalem, Herod, wanted to find out about the child Jesus, about the Christ. He knew it was the Christ. There was no doubt about it in his mind, even though he was not a Jew, not a believer. But he knew. It was prophesied by the prophets, all of them, particularly Saint Isaiah, but all the others as well, that the Christ would be born. But he wasn't a Jew, so he didn't know. So he asked the priests and the scholars of the temple. And they, of course, pointed out to Bethlehem, land of Judah. Bethlehem of the house of David. Bethlehem, the house of bread. The bread of God. And so he called them in. And the word that is used by St. Matthew, it's easier to see in the big missal than here, is, and I thought it was very interesting, clam. And of course, clams are usually shut. And of course, clam in Latin means secretly. Well, all the doors shut. Everything is quiet. Everything inside where nobody else can hear. He did not want anybody else to know about it. And I thought it was most interesting that that word should be used. And perhaps there isn't any correlation with the English word clam. But it is something, a shell that is shut. So too, the discourse between Herod and the wise men, the kings, was shut, not to anyone else hearing. And of course, he pretends. And we must remember that Satan is the great pretender. He is a great liar. He pretends to be God. He wants to be God. He wants us to adore him as God, though he is not. And whenever we sin, we are adoring Satan as God. We must not. We must not adore him. We must repudiate him and spit upon him, cast him out into the latrine where he belongs. And after all, he is the Lord of the flies. The flies, why? Because flies fly about feces. That's why he is the Lord of the flies. The devil stinks. Our Lord has the perfume of everlasting glory. The devil stinks. And so they worship the devil who do not worship God and who sin, and who go against the things of God. So our Lord is here brought out. And one of the things that is, or really two of them in a sense, but one of them in particular, which is given to him in the Epiphany, is frankincense. Of course, we use incense in the liturgy. And this is most important. This comes from God. This comes from Revelation in the Old Testament, and here we have it in the New Testament. Of course, myrrh is also a sort of incense. It's very bitter. The song, We Three Kings, speaks of its bitter perfume. I can't have it. I'm very allergic to it. But it is bitter perfume. I usually, if anybody gives me some, I give it away. Because some people burn incense at home. But it's very bitter. And so they bring him treasures of gold, the finest that we have, frankincense, because he is God and king, and myrrh, because he has come to die. But the evil Herod, he lies. He pretends to want to go and worship this child. He is very enthused, or pretends to be, but inside he is fuming. And in just a few days would kill hundreds of little boys in Bethlehem, the holy innocents, whom we celebrate on December the 28th. Of course, the liturgy goes forth, back and forth in time, and it is eternal. And so it takes an angel, maybe the same angel that was the star. It takes an angel to tell the magi, the wise men, the kings, not to return to Herod. And so they go in a different direction. Of course, this is, in a sense, what causes him to be furious. And then he says, oh, they have duped me, so I'm going to dupe them too. And he commands all the babies, the baby boys, to be killed. And so today, as we revisit these mysteries, and we will revisit them again in the different feria of the Epiphany, we give thanks to God for this great gift that he gives to us of his only Son that comes to us through the next greatest gift that we have, the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is the very special daughter and creature of God the Father, who is the mother. And from her flesh comes his flesh that we shall receive in Holy Communion, who is the mother of God the Son, and who is the most chaste, pure, and loving spouse of God the Holy Spirit. So to look to Mary and seek to understand all these mysteries which come to us through her and from her. As we celebrate these sacred mysteries, by request of one of our parishioners, this Mass is offered for the intentions and help of His Eminence Joseph Cardinal Zen, who has been, like Christ, betrayed.